Lord, is it I? Am I the most dangerous member of Loomis Park Baptist Church? Is Pastor the most dangerous member of Loomis Park Baptist Church, the one that loveth the preeminence, like Diotrephes? 3 John verse 9 tells us that Diotrephes loveth the preeminence, and certainly all of us that have been in church any amount of years have seen that one that kind of rised up and puffed his chest, as it would, at the pastor, that he wanted to be in charge. I'll never forget, as our dear Pastor Tharp was leaving after his son was killed in a wreck, there was a man, and again, please, if you've been divorced, this is not a slam on you, but this man had been, he was on his third marriage, and each one had ended in divorce, and he came around and thought that he ought to be doing the teaching at the church. And again, I'm not against those of you that have been divorced, but Pastor Tharp had a standard as far as what he wanted his leadership to have. And next thing you know, we found out how much this man loved the preeminence. After Pastor Tharp left, he began to try to wiggle his way in and take over Pastor Correa's ministry, the young preacher that came in. And thank God we had enough, we had deacons and trustees with some spiritual sense, and they met that man at the door. It was Pastor Korea's first Sunday, and the man came to the door and they said, "Have a nice day. See you later." That's what you're supposed to do with people like Diotrephes. Amen. You don't let them wiggle into the church, and you could tell someone that loves the preeminence. Is that the most dangerous member of the church? No. How about someone that languishes in worldliness? Is that the most dangerous member of the church? Well, you know, there are certainly people that languish in the things of the world. They're not interested in spiritual things. They're not interested in the Bible and in prayer and in trying to lead sinners to Christ. They languish in the world. Can I remind you that the Bible says we're to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. So many people so overcome with things, they don't have time for spiritual things. Is it that person, Pastor? No, it's not. Is it the person in the church who looks to divide? You know, there are people in churches, and I don't believe we have any here. I praise God for the unity that we have had ever since I have come to be the pastor of this church. But you know, if you've been in church any amount of time, there are people that get off in the little corners and they whisper. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:28, a whisperer separateth chief friends. And that was happening in the church at Corinth and in chapter number 3. And Paul said, listen, are you not carnal? You're dividing. You're saying, I'm of Apollos and I'm of Paul. And no. We're all supposed to be of Christ. We're one body. Amen. Is it that person that looks to divide? By the way, be wary of anyone that wants, and again, I don't just say this because I'm the preacher. I've sat where you sat. Be wary of someone that wants to have roast preacher on Sunday afternoon and wants to have you over. Amen? Be careful of that. Is it that person who looks to divide? No. Is it that person who languishes in worldliness? No. Is it that person who loveth the preeminence? No. Is it the person who lords over the money? Certainly, again, we could all go back at certain people. We used to call them the church member Brother Moneybags. Amen. Brother Moneybags lets you know that if you don't get his tithe, that the work of God will fall apart. I don't believe we have any Brother Moneybags. Thank God for that. Or Sister Holdapurse. Amen. I don't believe we have either one. But can I just tell you this? If it's God's church, it will go on. Amen. I think of Judas. You remember when Mary anointed Jesus with that box of spikenard, and she, as I believe Bill Gaither wrote, broken and spilled out, poured it all out. Amen. And old Judas stood over there and said, why was not this ointment sold and the money given to the poor? And thank God for the divine gospel of John. Because then it says, comma, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag. Amen? Listen, the person who lords over the money, I remember my good pastor friend of mine took a church and they had a rule, anything over $50 had to be voted upon.
I'm going to tell you something. At that point, I'd have got my firearm out, and anything over $50, good gracious. And certain, sure enough, they had Mr. Moneybags. I said, well, I don't know why we spent $50 on salt for the parking lot. And that, you could just tell who they were, amen. No, they're not the most dangerous member. How about the person not only that loveth the preeminence or languishes in worldliness or looks to divide or lords over the money? How about that person that leaves principle behind? That's that person that you see in their someplace. You know they're a member of the church, but you see them someplace where they're not supposed to be. How about that person? The Bible says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. I was thinking today, as Brother Boston and Sister Boston and I were talking during the Sunday school hour, I remember, and he was telling me that they had a driver, and I thank God for Brother Ken Curry. I thank God every day for that brother that drives that bus selflessly and enjoys doing it. But I remember we had a driver, and I was out and about, and I watched this man go into a video store. And he went into a section where only 21-year-olds were supposed to go. And I had to let my bus director know I saw him go there. What a sad thing. Is that the most dangerous member of the church, Pastor? No. It's not a person. But according to our text, it's rather a part of a person. Look at verse number 5 again. What's the most dangerous member of Loomis Park Baptist Church? Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the tongue. It's the tongue that is the most dangerous member of our church. It's the tongue. I want to just, by way of an outline, 5 things, and then we'll look at some applications tonight. The first thing I see the tongue doing is the tongue is devouring. The tongue is devouring. Look again at verse 5. It says there, behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And then if you look at verse 6, it says, verse number 6, it says, and the tongue is a fire. A world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members. It defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. You see that word over and over. Fire, fire, fire. When I think of fire, I think of its devouring power. And ladies and gentlemen, nothing will devour the people of God more than an untamed tongue. Untamed tongue. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to be careful. Words are powerful. Amen? We learn later, and we'll talk about it there, but it says there in verse 9, therewith we bless God, and therewith we curse we men. With what? The tongue. It's devouring. Something else it is, according to verse number 5, and I learned this from a firefighter friend of mine. It says, behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. It's devouring. It's doubling. My firefighter friend told me, he said, Pastor, a fire doubles in size in 1 minute. How many times has someone carelessly used their tongue and the next thing you know, it just blew up? Amen. It just unbelievably, it doubled and doubled and doubled to where you couldn't get it. It's like that proverbial little kid that pushes the small snowball down the hill. And before you know it, it's huge and it's taking out trees and homes and everything. Why? Listen, it's not only devouring, it's doubling. Verse 6 tells us it's destroying. It's destroying. Look at it. Over and over. It's the tongue is a fire. World of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. It defileth the whole body. Setteth on fire the course of nature. I remember when we were kids, I was thinking just this week, I think I had mentioned to our church that a man in my neighborhood, 42 years old, a clinical psychiatrist, doctor, took his own life. And I was going back in my mind and was emailing his brother, and we were just sharing things about our childhood. I'll never forget, we used to camp out on their property. And I'll never forget, as foolish boys were wont to do. Foolish boys play with fire. Amen. Am I the only foolish boy in the room, or were there some others of you? Brother Lolly's shaking his head back there. No. I'll never forget. Foolish boy playing with fire. First time I ever took a lighter and I took hairspray and went poof, and I took all the hair right off my leg. Amen. Just like that. Never forget. I was like, what is that smell? Oh, that's what hair smells like when you burn it. Amen. But I remember we were in the backyard and we were, as we were, just messing with fire. And the next thing you know, it was dry season. And it began to burn in a residential neighborhood. And I'll never forget the fire coming and watching the fire department actually coming. And thank God no homes were destroyed. But I watched how fire could just destroy. You know, your tongue is that way. Do you know you can destroy people with your tongue? Do you know many a good man has been destroyed by the tongue? Can you think of a Bible character? And thank God, God superimposes His will. But I think of Potiphar's wife in her lying, wretched tongue. What she said about Joseph. She said, you brought him in here to mock me. He tried to rape me. He didn't do anything of the sort. Amen. He fled. He kept his integrity. But she lied. I think about that wicked woman in the Bible, Jezebel, and her lying tongue. And how she devoured the prophets of God. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the tongue can devour. It can double. It can destroy. Something else it can do, according to verse 6, is it defiles. It says there, so the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body. God gives illustrations of the small controlling the large in verses 3 and 4. It says, behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us. In that bit, we turn about the whole body. If you've ever ridden a horse, I don't like horses, amen. I'm still a little upset at the Lord that we're going to have to ride white horses down. But He's made that decision and He didn't check with me, amen. That'll be the next and last time I ride a horse right then and there. But you know, all you got to do is pull back on that bit and you can move that horse any way you want to. Same thing he says here with the idea of the ship and the rudder, the helm. We had, years ago, I was thinking about this yesterday, we were talking about dogs, amen. Thank God the scripture says beware of dogs, amen. We had a Rottweiler, 150 pounds. I mean, he was just a horse. And we used to have this choke chain. And it was one of those kind that actually had the prongs, amen, because you could not afford to let him get away from you. And he'd walk, and all you had to do was jerk up on that chain. He'd go, ah! 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 You know, just the idea of the small taking care of the big. Here, it's a bit of the opposite. It says the tongue is small, but it can defile the whole body. I can tell you this, I've certainly lost respect for people because they ran their mouth and I defiled them in my eyes. Listen, we ought not to be that way. We're not supposed to be busybodies, amen? We're not supposed to be just wagging our tongues about other people, amen? I think Grandma's advice is a good piece of advice. If you can't say something nice about somebody, don't say anything. Amen? It's devouring, it's doubling, it's destroying, it's defiling. Verses 6 and 8, we learn that it's devilish. Verse 8 says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. By the way, it's talking here about the untamed tongue. Amen? The untamed tongue. You think about that. How much of the devil's work is done with the tongue? And I'd say this, most of it. Most of it. Because it's the tongue that inspires the whole body to do that which we ought not to do. Let me give you some applications tonight. Perhaps, and again, this is one of those messages where you don't expect a large altar call. What? Maybe you're guilty of gossip tonight. Come, and all of a sudden the altar's flooded. Wow, I didn't realize that was such a problem. Most folks aren't probably dealing with this tonight. But I want to, if perhaps you are, or perhaps you know someone that is, can I tell you this by way of application, three quick applications. The first thing you need to do is stop your tongue. Stop wagging your tongue. If I wasn't in the pulpit, I'd tell you something else, but be quiet. Amen? Be quiet. If that's you, if you're running your tongue, if you're a gossip and running your tongue about other people, be quiet. Amen? Go back probably just a page to James chapter 1, verse 26. Look what it says here. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. What is it saying there? The idea is if you are truly, quote unquote, religious, as the Bible says, you will have the capacity to bridle your tongue. Amen? To stop, to be quiet. Go over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. And look what it says there. Again, another great verse. The idea, if you are using that most dangerous member of Loomis Park Baptist Church, your tongue, in an improper way, you need to stop your tongue. Verse 10 says, he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and that his lips that they speak no guile. Can I tell you this, an inside secret? I hate to even say this, lest you'd think wrong of me. By the way, I say things that I wish I'd never said, just like we all do, amen? We wish we could push them back in. I'm going to tell you, some of the worst people at this are preachers. And I love preachers. I don't tear preachers down. But listen, preachers are some of the worst at this. They come and they say, my members do this and my members do that. I hope you'll know that, listen, I don't talk evil about you. You're a blessing to me. Listen, you are the ministry to me. You're not how we perform the ministry. You're the ministry. You're the people that God has given to me. And I don't want to use my tongue to tear you down. It's wrong. We need to stop our tongues. By the way, we need to not only stop gossiping, we need to stop listening to gossips. Years ago, my preacher, Pastor Tharp, and I love him with all my heart. I know he said, I pray for you every day, brother. I'll never forget how he told us there's two easy ways to stop a gossip. Two. He said, the first thing is when a gossip calls you, and by the way, they don't call you and say, I'd like to gossip. They call you and say, we need to pray about something. It's cold, amen. By the way, if they ask you to pray about something, that's great. But we've got a serious situation here. And do you know, Brother So-and-so has been, Pastor Tharp said, hold on, let's call Brother So-and-so right now. Okay, got to go now. The roast is burning. Goodbye. No, that'll end that quick. The other one is when that person wants to just keep spewing, and you let them finish, and then that you say, I need to tell you something. I'm not a garbage can! And hang up the phone. Amen? Because you know what gossip is? It's garbage. Filth. Nehushtan, as the Bible says. Amen? It's just waste! We need to stop our tongue. We need to stop listening to people that like to wag their tongues about other believers. It's just wrong. Amen? It's wrong. So we need to stop our tongues by way of application. Then you know what else we need to do? Let's go to some Old Testament scriptures here. We need to submit our tongues. Submit our tongues. Go to Psalms chapter 34 in your Bibles. Are we having fun yet? Amen. I hope so. Amen. These messages, I believe, are profitable. We all need to be reminded that our tongue is set on fire of hell, and we need to stop it, and we need to submit it. Verse 34, look at verse, or chapter 34, Psalm 34, verse number 13. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Go over to Proverbs chapter 13, Proverbs 13, probably just a few pages over, amen? Well, lots of pages. Psalms is a long book, amen? Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3. And then one more verse in Proverbs. Look what it says here. It says in Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 3. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. There you have a contrast between the submitted tongue and the tongue that's just wiggling. It's submitted. Chapter 21, verse number 23. Proverbs 21, 23, just a few pages over. And it says there, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. We mentioned this morning, you know, you sow what you reap. You know, if you sow gossip, you know what's going to happen to you one day? Someone's going to tear you up with gossip. And it's going to be justly reaped. That ought to be one reason enough for us to say, you know what? I'm not only going to stop my tongue, I'm going to spiritually submit my tongue. And what it really is the spirit controlling the flesh. You know, your tongue is still part of your flesh. And what we need to do is spiritually submit that tongue to the Word of God. So you know what here? It says, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. I guess I better just button my lip. Amen? Spiritually speaking, do that. Stop your tongue. Submit your tongue. And I like this. Go back to James. Go back to James in verse 9. We see the contrasts here that God gives us. And it's beautiful. James chapter 3, verse 9, it says, therewith we bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men. And in verse 10 says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. And by the way, he's not talking that there shouldn't be blessing. There just shouldn't be cursing. Amen. And then he says, doth a fountain send forth the same place sweet water and bitter? And can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? He appeals to the illustrations in nature. Says, look, you can't have it both ways. Listen, a sweet place of cool, fresh water, you don't expect to find warm salt water there. You expect cool water. So what's the third application, Pastor? Stop your tongue. Submit your tongue. Start using your tongue for the cause of Christ. Amen? What are some ways we can do that? I'll tell you some ways we can do that. I appreciate it. I had the privilege to go down to Mrs. Lawley's class today. And I like to visit the classes. Amen? I just usually pop in for a few minutes and I want the kids to know who their pastor is. And I've had, you know, young people say, is you the man that owns the church? Amen. No. No, I just want to come in. But here's a way you could do it. Teach a class. Amen, Mrs. Harmon. Amen. I appreciate Mrs. Harmon stepping in and saying, I'll teach that class. Hey, that's a great way to use your tongue for the cause of Christ. Amen. Teach a class. How about training young people? Doesn't just have to be in a class. I appreciate Miss Robin and Miss Katie working with the children's choir, teaching them to sing praises. Boy, that's a good thing, amen. Training, teaching. How about telling of God's love? But you know, there are thousands of people in Jackson that are lost. And we, you know what they need? They need you to use your tongue to tell them about Jesus. Every Saturday we go out and we try to tell people about Jesus. Listen, I think Jesus is pleased when we use our tongue in that manner. Amen. When we start using our tongue for good, telling of God's love and teaching a class and training children. And by the way, how about touching a discouraged heart? How many times have we been down? And by the way, I hate to break the news to you. Do you know your pastor gets discouraged? That's why I take Mondays off. I heard a preacher say years ago, I said, you ever think about quitting the ministry? And the preacher said, every Monday. So I said, I'm not coming in on Mondays. Amen. If that's what happens to preachers, I take Monday off. But you know, I get discouraged. I see you precious people that are here, and then I see people who ought to be here. And I think, my goodness, why aren't they here? And Lord, help them and work in their lives. And I think of all that, but I want to just tell you something. So many times when I've been discouraged, somebody said a kind word. Or nowadays, an email or a text, all that kind of stuff. Just an encouraging word, using your lips for the cause of Christ to touch some discouraged heart. That's the way to use your tongue. Amen? That's the way you ought to use your tongue. I had the privilege of playing a lot of sports, and when I was a senior, I was very, very good in soccer, very good in baseball, and there was another friend of mine, and he's still my friend today, but we were probably about the same on athletic level, but he was the kind of person that he just couldn't encourage anybody. It was always, why'd you do that? Why'd you do this? You should have done that. Whereas I kind of took the opposite approach, and if you've ever played any sports with me, I know our softball players know I'm always out there in left field, and I've got my glove on, and I'm out there chattering. I'm saying to Tom Hauser, I'm saying, hey, good pitching there, Tom. Good pitching. Way to go, Tom. And how many times Tom told me, he said, you know, that really encourages me, Pastor. When I hear you out there, and maybe one of our guys will make an error and say, hey, don't worry about that. Nice try. You know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to encourage one another with our lips. We're supposed to do, listen, if we're supposed to do that on the ball field, how much more in the house of God? You know, if you see somebody that looks down, don't walk up and say, what's your problem? You're not helping. How about, you okay, sister? You okay, bro? Can we pray together? Boy, there's a way to use your tongue. Amen? To pray to God. What are you trying to say, Pastor? I'm trying to say this. The most dangerous member of Loomis Park Baptist Church is right in between our lips. But it's not only the most dangerous member, it can be the most glorious member. Amen? It doesn't have to bring forth cursing. It doesn't have to bring forth gossip. It can bring forth blessing. It can bring forth encouragement. It can bring forth the plan of salvation to sinners. You know what we need to do? We need to stop it if we're talking wrong about people. It's none of your business to talk wrong about somebody else. Pray. Ask God to help them. We need to submit our tongues to the Word of God. To the Lord Jesus Christ, submit our tongue. To know that, hey, ladies and gentlemen, at the judgment seat of Christ, we'll give an account for every idle word we ever speak. You know what else? We need to start using our tongue for good. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, let's just go there. That'll be our last scripture tonight. And I know many of you know this verse. You soul winners especially know Romans 10, 9. That's a great verse. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What is that? It's the tongue. It's the tongue. There was a day when you came before a church and you stood in a baptistry like that, and the preacher asked, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? And with your tongue you said, yes. Yes, I have. And is it your desire to live for the Lord all your days? And you used your tongue and you said, yes. Blessed. You encouraged somebody. Hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen, as long as we have breath, let us use our tongue for good. With God. Amen. Father, we pray that you